Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
I told you this was coming. It was only a matter of time, but okay, so Mark Zuckerberg goes on Capitol Hill. What happens, right? It's a circus. It's a kangaroo circus. It means nothing. It's irrelevant what we saw happen take place there, because it was all about one thing. It was about getting Facebook to openly call for regulations, which they gladly did, because Zuckerberg's a good lefty and lefties love regulations. And so they're happy to do it. And as they sat up there getting their fake scolding by Congress, the same Congress that did not give a damn about when the government was stealing your secrets and your privacy, but now they care about Facebook. So when that whole little thing was going on at Kabuki Theater, as it's called, I knew what it was all about. I said this to you back then. I said, this is all about so that we can have regulations on speech. Yes, on speech. Because for Zuckerberg, as a good lefty, he understands that you do have to silence people. He's not a free speech guy. None of them are. They aren't. I'm sorry, but whether it's that Jack guy on Twitter or it's Zuckerberg on Facebook, these are not free speech champions. They like to censor things all the time. And you know where I am on this? I am a free speech absolutist. So no, I don't call for boycotts. Somebody sent me an email today suggesting I help organize a boycott of the school where that idiot professor worked who talked about Barbara Bush's death. And I said, I don't do that stuff. It's not me. That's what the left does. And I don't play that game. You know, people say things, stupid things, bad things, evil things, whatever. I don't get involved in the whole silence them, punish them, boycott them. I just don't do it because I have to be consistent. And the game the left plays is that when conservatives and people on the right jump in with the censorship game, they turn around and go, all right, you agree with us. We should have hate speech laws. Because in your mind, you'll go, yeah, but that was so egregious that in that case, we got it. Yes, in that case, we got to punish her for saying that. And they say that all the time, the left, about everything. Yeah, but that comment was so egregious. That statement that was so triggering and blah, 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 blah. And that statement led to a shooting. And that's what they do. They play that game. I don't play that game because that game will lead us to the kind of stuff they have in the United Kingdom, which is a man going to prison because his dog made a Zeke Heil, you know, with his pug raised his arm like he was a Nazi soldier, which, again, is stupid. And I don't condone that. And I would never have my dogs make Nazi jokes. But you also shouldn't go to prison for that. That's where we're heading with hate speech. Remember, the left would love that. They would love to have speech codes. They have them on campuses now. And too often when one of theirs says something that is absolutely over the line, absolutely inappropriate, absolutely unacceptable, and people jump on that train of she's got to be fired and punished and boycott everything, they actually deep down inside, the left, they go, yeah, right, good, good. Now you're seeing our way of thinking on this. Let's all agree that there is some speech that should in fact be punished. And Facebook is the same way, you know, they believe that too. I think in the future, probably 20 years from now, I think people in this country, maybe sooner, will go to jail for their speech. I do. I believe that 100% with my heart. I do absolutely believe that. When I went out to Berkeley last year, I guess it was, or a year and a half ago, I don't know, time flies, right? I remember thinking that too. Here I am in Berkeley, and there's this whole side of people who were protesting Ann Coulter's speech, and they didn't want to hear from her, and she was fine not coming, even though I went. That's all right. And she's still, you know what, to you?
She's still dead.
Okay, I'm just checking. I needed the update on that point. I thought so, but I needed to just double check. I want to assume she was still dead to you. I wanted to double check that point.
Oh, you can assume.
Don't you cross Mama Bear. It doesn't end well for you. So I was out there thinking the same thing, is that a lot of colleges, they reinforce these points on hate speech, and they say some speech is just so triggering and emotionally it drains you and it makes you scared. And you can't say it. And a lot of college students believe that. You know, they believe that theory. They go, yes, you're right. Oh, yes, we got to have speech codes. They have them on college campuses all the time. More and more. more and more. I mean, they never would have had that stuff in the 1960s and 70s after the free speech movement was born in Berkeley. When it was born at Berkeley, ironically enough, and then one of the guys who was one of the founders of that effort, of course, now is a member of the Federalist Society and is a friend of the show. And at the time, he thought he was a liberal. And he looks around now, he goes, I can't believe these liberals. They want to silence everybody who doesn't agree with them. And that's what it comes down to. If you look at any socialist country in the world, and you can't find one that's functioning. You can find socialist programs that are functioning, not well, but you can't find a socialist country that's functioning well where the people are free. You can't have it. You can't allow dissent. It doesn't work. Find me a socialist country in this world where they allow dissent. You will never be able to do it. One of the first things you have to do when you have socialism is you've got to silence the critics for the good of the masses. And there's two things that happens with speech, right? The first thing is that you have people that view speech as some sort of weapon. You know, words are like weapons. They wound sometimes, like in the Cher song. You have other people that view speech as the problem when you're trying to create utopia. Because guys like me, with my big mouth, who criticize people like Bernie and his dumb $15 an hour government jobs plan, I'm the problem. I'm standing in the way of utopia. So I have to be silenced too. And someday they'll achieve that. And I think in the future, sadly, I think it's going to be closer than we think, people will start going to jail for things they post on Facebook. I mean, there are already cases now of people who are getting charged with their crimes of speech. And so far, nobody's actually really been convicted of this yet, at least where the convictions have been upheld. But it's happening more and more under the guise of bullying. Somebody posted rap lyrics that's actually bullying somebody. Well, then let's go lock them up now. It violates a restraining order, so let's lock him up. Words on Facebook. Well, it's a threat. Let's lock him up. It's happening more and more. And now Facebook wants in on it. Facebook wants to say, yeah, we'll censor speech too. So today they came out with their new guidelines. And these guidelines should absolutely trouble conservatives more than anybody else, because the left has their ideas on things. For example, you really don't want to silence Planned Parenthood, but the NRA is a problem. You know what I mean? The NRA is a real problem. And if you're on the Facebook and you're posting things about guns, not good. Not good. You know what I mean? And if you're on Facebook and you're posting things about liberty and taking our government back, I don't know about that stuff. You know what I mean? It sounds a little bit crazy to me. You got to silence that stuff. Well, I knew this would happen. I knew that Facebook and Zuckerberg, like a good lefty, and all the good Democrats on Capitol Hill, they'd all join together and they'd say the exact same thing. We need to have regulation. And even phonies like Lindsey Graham would say it too. We got to have regulation. Golly gee, we can't have people saying things out there that are freeing, because that would be very problematic. Somebody's feelings might get hurt. And you knew as well as I do that all of these hearings were about nothing more than getting Facebook and the government to agree on censoring speech. Absolutely. Facebook wants you and me to understand that there are, in fact, some words that hurt people's feelings. But they'll make those decisions as to what those words are with the help of the government, with the help of central planning. And that may change over the years. You know, depending on the moods and the tides of things, it may change. But the general consensus is that anything that can be viewed as triggering or bullying or mean or anything like that has to be censored. And who makes that interpretation is my question. Who makes that interpretation? This is always the problem with any sort of censorship, is that when you go down this road, you eventually end up with a committee of bureaucrats who make those determinations. Really, you do. You inevitably, if you play the censorship game, you will run into a group of government hacks, faceless, nameless bureaucrats who will come up with speech guidelines. That's how it'll happen. And it won't happen right away, right? It'll happen little by little until eventually the committee has to come out and make their recommendations, and they have to codify them by law. They have to do that by law because it's too vague and ambiguous. So they got to do that by law. I'll give you a couple of details from this. Tuesday, their censorship rules in an apparent act of transparency, says the Daily Caller. The company has recently become the recipient of public censure. Quote, "We decided to push these internal guidelines for two reasons," said Monica Bickert, vice president of global product management. "First, the guidelines will help people understand where we draw the line on nuanced issues. Second, providing these details makes it easier for everyone, including experts in different fields, to give us feedback so that we can improve the guidelines and the decisions we make over time." Being more open about its content and moderation strategy and similar processes may earn Facebook more support, yet new details about why and how it removes certain content will also likely open up more opportunities for user scrutiny. After all, Facebook has been accused of various forms of censorship in the past. Continuing with the blog post, this Monica Bickert wrote, another challenge is accurately applying our policies to the content that has been flagged to us. In some cases, we make mistakes because our policies are not sufficiently clear to our content reviewers. When that's the case, we work to fill those gaps. More often than not, however, we make mistakes because our processes involve people and people are fallible. See that? People are fallible, but robots aren't, right? So if they have automatic programs that can scan speech and then censor, and that's exactly where they're going with this. There's a reason she wrote people are fallible, and they are, but computers aren't. Not in their thinking. I mean, somebody who works in Silicon Valley, they think computers are perfect. They're beautiful. The only problem that ever happened might be a problem by a fallible person who programmed them incorrectly. But a good written, a well-written program can go out there and find that hate speech before it's even written and take it down. Topics covered in the community standards, which are around 25 pages long, include adult nudity and sexual activity, graphic violence, hate speech, and cruel and insensitive content and behavior like bullying, all of which are enumerated with criteria that can be interpreted many ways. For instance, Facebook defines hate speech as a direct attack on people based on what we call protected characteristics: race, ethnicity, national origin, religious affiliation, sexual orientation, sex, gender, gender identity, and serious disability or disease. From the company, they say, quote, we provide some protections for immigration status. We define attacks as violent or dehumanizing speech, statements of inferiority, or calls for exclusion or segregation. We separate attacks into three tiers of severity as described below. Sometimes people share content containing someone else's hate speech for the purpose of raising awareness or educating others. Similarly, in some cases, words or terms that might otherwise violate our standards are used self-referentially or in an empowering way. When this is the case, we allow the content, but we expect people to clearly indicate their intent, which helps us better understand why they shared it. Where the intention is unclear, we may remove the content. We allow humor and social commentary related to these topics. In addition, we believe that people are more responsible when they share the kind of commentary using their authentic identity. Now, at some point down the future, you're going to understand that this censorship begins with Facebook doing this, and a lot of hate speech is stuff they define hate speech as things that are said by primarily the right, really. I mean, truly, they, from their perspective, you know, saying things like build a wall. You know, how soon does that become hate speech from Facebook standards? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people on the left already think it is, but how soon until that content is fully censored? It's already happening in certain places, but how long until things you say about immigration become hate speech that is also censored? And then how soon until certain things then also lead to criminal penalties is my question. We are going down a very, very dangerous place here with the First Amendment. And right now the cover is Facebook's a private group. It is true. But Congress is in on the game. And when Congress is in on the game, now you're talking about law, and now you're talking about spitting on the First Amendment. And that's a very, very big and scary difference. 855-839. Somebody asked me, I think Lauren on Twitter asked me about the Facebook community standards, post a link to it. I actually just found them on Facebook, so we'll put it on our Facebook page. And Greg, if you could handle that for us, please. Greg Stocker, of course, the executive producer of the Zioli Show. Greg, if you could do that at facebook.com/Zioli Show. And if you could write, I don't feel safe with these community standards. Okay. I think that would be appropriate, because then Facebook should have to remove their own community standards.
Can you imagine if they did?
Right. Because I don't feel safe. Hey, literally, what did I say? You know what? Sometimes I think I should start remembering what I say. I can't. I'm telling you. You get in the zone, you know what I mean? All of a sudden you're just like, every now and then somebody will say, that thing you said last week about so-and-so, and I look at them and go, wait, what? I have no idea what you're... No, I don't think that was me. Maybe somebody else. All right. I said yesterday that the goal of the left is you got to feel safe, and a lot of students on college campuses and a lot of colleges promote this thinking of you have to feel safe. Safety is most important.
Safe space.
Safe space, Dawn, exactly. This is a safe space.
Yes.
We are in the treehouse of trust, and this is a safe space.
The treehouse.
What is the first word? The first community standard, the very first word in Facebook's community standards. What is it?
Safe.
T. Safety.
I see that now. Oh, my God.
Wait, let's do that again. I like it. That was fun. Dawn, what is the first word?
Safety.
T. No, no, you just do safe. I'll do T. Okay, ready? Okay, ready?
Sorry, I'm slow.
Dawn, what is the first word, the very first word on Facebook's community standards?
Safe.
T. That's good. I like that.
Ma. King. Bird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a children's show.
I had that call today, that, you know, the national sales call.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
And one of the FM jocks, I guess, call them that, right? Jocks, the spin records.
Sure, yeah.
Gets on the call 5 minutes late. So the guy's explaining the product to me, and he's almost done. And then, you know, it's like 5 minutes in, there goes, hey, it's Wacky Pete in the morning show. And sorry, we just got here. Hey. And the guy didn't hear correctly.
No.
And he's like, I'm sorry, who is this?
Oh, no.
And you could hear how offended these hosts were. Like, you don't know Rocky and the Rockettes? We're waking up Cleveland every morning on Hot 97 points. And I just started laughing because the phone was on mute. And I started cracking up. They were so offended that the guy didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was hysterical. We predicted that yesterday. So safety is number one. Now, obviously, people need to feel, this is their language here, people need to feel safe in order to build community. We are committed to removing content that encourages real-world harm, okay, including but not limited to physical, financial, and, wait for it, emotional injury. Emotional injury. That's what I mean. Now, define emotional injury for me. Can you define that?
Feelings hurt.
Feelings are hurt. Thank you. You've hurt my feelings. Well, we have to remove that. I've suffered an emotional injury. I have suffered an emotional harm in my heart. And the first cut is the deepest. Am I right? My gosh, if I could have put in jail all the women who caused me emotional injury when I was in high school.
I know.
Right? You, when that time that one girl took me to the prom and then dumped me at the prom for a senior. Is that not emotional injury? Why is she not in prison?
True.
Our mission is all about embracing diverse views. We err on the side of allowing content, even when some find it objectionable, unless removing that content can prevent a specific harm. Oh, God. Why do I have MSNBC on? Why do I do that? Why do I do this to myself? Damn it. You look at this right now. Is this Jeffrey Lurie on MSNBC, or did he say this? Is that Jeffrey Lurie? That's not Jeffrey Lurie. No, that's one of the dopey MSNBC people. Apparently, Jeffrey Lurie said Trump's presidency is disastrous. Jeffrey Lurie owns the Philadelphia...
Yes.
Sporting team with the...
Our Jeff Lurie?
Jeffrey Lurie, who owns a football team in Philadelphia. Thank you, John. The name escaped me for a second. The Eagles, yes. Jeffrey Lurie came out and said, according to the panel here on MSNBC, with Mark Leibovich, Nicole Wallace, and two other dopes. Jeffrey Lurie, apparently, that's what we've been working too long. Greg and I are literally finishing each other's sentences. By the way, don't finish my sentences. Wait, he called them a dope. No, he called them an emotional disaster. What is this now? Okay, according to the New York Times, Patriots owner and Trump friend Robert Kraft ripped the president in confidential NFL meeting, and Jeffrey Lurie said his presidency is disastrous. All right, we'll try to find if that is in fact a true MSNBC story or not. Okay, back to the article here. However, if we might allow content that might violate our standards if we feel it's newsworthy, but we will weigh the public interest value of the content against the risk of real world harm. Equity. Facebook is global and diverse. Our policies may seem broad, but that is because we apply them consistently and fairly to a community that transcends regions, cultures, and languages. As a result, our community standards can sometimes appear less nuanced than we would like, leading to an outcome that is at odds with their underlying purpose. For that reason, in some cases, and when we are provided with additional context, we make a decision based on the spirit rather than the letter of the policy. In other words, they'll do whatever the hell they want to do. And it goes on and on. The consequences vary depending on the severity of the violation and the person's history on the platform. For instance, We may warn someone for a first violation, but if they continue to violate our policies, we may restrict their ability to post on Facebook or disable their profile. We may also notify law enforcement we believe there is a genuine risk of physical harm or a direct threat to public safety. Our community standards, which we will continue to develop over time, serve as a guide for how to communicate on Facebook. It is in this spirit that we ask members of the Facebook community to follow these guidelines, and they have the guidelines. Wouldn't it be easier if Facebook was just about posing, you know, posting pictures of your kids
yes.
and, you know, just like looking at pictures of your ex-girlfriend or something like that? Hey, wouldn't that be easier
stalking,
for everybody?
Stalking people.
Right, right. You know, it's just a bit simple, like the way the old days, you know? And it goes on and on, the Facebook standards. So
if you want to follow along at home, I just posted it on the Zioli Show Facebook page.
But I'm telling you, I feel triggered by this, is my point. I'm triggered by this. And so I feel that this is making me less safe. That's my question. I feel less safe now. All right. The new Facebook guidelines. Now, Facebook has responded to the criticism that it is, in fact, in the censorship business. And their response was, hey, what are you going to do? When until all of this is codified into law, you think, in a capacity by Congress? When is that, you think? How many years? What's your guess? How many years? A week? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
If the Democrats get control of the House, how soon until they pass the first code of hate speech laws in this country, you think? How soon? Week? 10 weeks? Two days? Bernie needs everybody to just be silent. As Joanne on Twitter pointed out, Bernie needs everybody to zip it with their criticism of his $15 an hour jobs plan. So that's a little bit right there. You know, you might be hurting somebody's feelings if you mock them for not being able to get a job in like the private sector, for example. That might be emotional harm you're committing against somebody. So you can't do that. Okay. Don't do that. All right. Let's understand, though, that I would imagine Joy Reid should probably be censored from not only Facebook, but also MSNBC. And I'm surprised that she's not. From The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald, MSNBC's Joy Reid claims her website was hacked and hacked, right? And then bigoted anti-LGBT content was added to her site. MSNBC's Joy Reid, she is the genius that entertained the panel of people talking about what would happen if the federal marshals tried to arrest Donald Trump and he resisted, leading us to do what was described by at least one very close friend of the show as being perfection, one of the best things we've ever done here on the program. That is the Trump Fugitive Part 2. You should listen to that podcast. Share it and love it, by the way. Joy Reid will stay on air at MSNBC amid outcry over alleged anti-gay posts. She said a lot of very damaging things, and she's on MSNBC. But her excuse is somebody hacked her Twitter feed and then posted all these anti-gay things. Does anybody believe that? Like, who sat around going, I'm gonna hack into Joy Reid's account.
Joy Reid's.
And then I'm going to post all these homophobic things on the off chance her career takes off and she gets her own show on MSNBC so I can destroy this woman. She speculated about the sexuality of then-Florida Governor Charlie Crist, referring to him as Miss Charlie. Now, I would do that, but I'm not on MSNBC, and I'm not a lefty, and so, you know, if I did that, people would be mad at me. She does that on MSNBC, and they cry and call that bullying and hate speech. She writes this now. This is her note. This note is my apology to all who are disappointed by the content of blogs I wrote a decade ago, for which my choice of words and tone have legitimately been criticized. But in the same time, she points out that I was just hacked and they just posted things on there. So she's not really apologizing, because she posted this. Most straight people cringe at the sight of two men kissing. The nature of political correctness is that gay people are allowed to say straight sex is gross, but the reverse is considered to be patently homophobic. She's a host on MSNBC. Now, the Internet Archive disputed that its records had been compromised in a blog post on Tuesday. According to the site, it was first contacted in December by Joy Reid's lawyers, asking it to take down, quote, fraudulent posts that were inserted into legitimate conduct in the archive of her blog. Now, this is from the Internet Archive Group. Ready? Quote, when we received the archives, we found nothing to indicate tampering or hacking of the Wayback Machine versions. In other words, according to a cybersecurity expert, Joy Reid is full of it. Nobody hacked your account and put up these offensive statements. And this is all a lie. It's all a lie. And yet she gets to keep her job on MSNBC. So really what it means is that the left loves censorship unless it silences one of the Trump's biggest critics, in which case then it doesn't matter what they say. Keep her on the air at all costs.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.